Welcome, everybody, to a very special edition of the Sleepwire podcast. I am your host, Nick Summerlin, and on today's Super Bowl show, we got, of course, Mike rejoining us back from last week. Mike, thank you for joining us again.
How are we doing this evening?
Good, good. And, of course, we've got a special guest, a superstar celebrity joining us, Matthew McConaughey.
All right, all right, all right. How we doing, boys?
I gotta let the dog out. You know, it's Lucas joining us back. But, you know, he sounds exactly like Matthew McConaughey. So that's why he is the Matthew McConaughey of Sleepwire. So, Lucas, thank you for joining us again on the show.
I love being on here, guys. Appreciate you having me back.
Ah, no problem, no problem. Well, today is a very special edition. As I mentioned, it is our Super Bowl review show. And, of course, you know, Super Bowl, it's a lot of fun most times. And you know what? About after three quarters, we finally started having some fun in that Super Bowl a little bit. You know, it finally started getting interesting. I'd even say, like, you know, the last 8 minutes finally got there. You know, but there was some good stuff beforehand. A lot of people were probably happy with the way the Super Bowl is going until that 8 minutes. So maybe that was the worst part of the Super Bowl for some of you out there. But, you know, let's just put it out there in case you were living under a rock. The Patriots did win the Super Bowl 34-28 in overtime for the first time in Super Bowl history, which I found to be very shocking to hear that stat. I mean, Lucas, how did you know about that, or were you blindsided by that stat?
I was blindsided. It's not something I had looked up previously, but I was shocked to hear that that had never happened.
Right, in 51 Super Bowls, you would have thought, all right, maybe even one from way back in the beginning. Maybe one of those went to overtime or something, but whew, never gone into overtime. I mean, that is impressive. I just wish the game itself, you know, I just want to give my quick thoughts, then I'll get into your guys' thoughts, but I just want to give my quick lay down here real quick. The way I looked at the Super Bowl yesterday was, and we are recording this on Monday, just so you know, because it'll probably come out Tuesday, but the way I looked at the Super Bowl was, okay, started off being a blowout. I mean, Falcons caught me by surprise because I didn't think they were going to just be laying down the points and holding them on defense for, you know, nearly the entire game. I just wish it were more back and forth. And if you're going to get to overtime, it should have been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But then again, it was the Falcons. And in my opinion, they were a great team this season, but I didn't think they had any reason to be there. I didn't think they were that good. I thought they had a lot of nice pieces. I thought, you know, the defense had improved. I thought the offense improved immensely. But I just didn't think that they were there to take on the Patriots in that kind of a caliber of a game. So, and they proved me right. I mean, they choked in that last 8 minutes, couldn't get the job done. And this is why we're talking about the Patriots winning the Super Bowl. So, that's a little bit of my take. So, Mike, I want to start with you. What were your thoughts on the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, it started out, and I mean, I predicted that Atlanta was going to win 34-17. So I was, at first, I even said it's going to be 21-0 before they have an answer for anything on that. And so I'm watching this, and I'm like, spot on. I was like, I'm spot on again. I knew this was going to happen because that defense is underrated. And I'm all, that offense is so high octane, it's impossible to stop them. And I don't know what Bill Belichick said on the halftime, but man, he got them Patriots fired up, and they came out and played a whole different football game. And it seemed like Atlanta kind of got taken off their game plan right around halftime as well. They just weren't attacking as much on defense, and on offense it seemed like they were kind of throwing a mix of clock management and a little bit of their high octane offense, but they just weren't running with the purpose, and they weren't throwing the ball with the accuracy that they had in the first half. So I don't know. I really kind of feel like Atlanta let that game slip away from them. I don't really know that that New England just exploded and looked great, but hard to argue with the end results, and Tom Brady did it again. I mean, the guy came out of nowhere, came back, what was it, 31 unanswered points? That's just ridiculous.
Well, I agree to an extent about some of the things you said. The way I looked at it, though, was Bill Belichick, in my opinion, was going to absolutely come up with some kind of answer for the Falcons, because that's just what he does. I mean, I hate to say it because I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm not happy about the result. But that's what Bill Belichick does. And with him and Brady, and I really think the credit probably goes more to Brady than Belichick, but they're just a good combo to each other, I think. I think they work well together, and I think that's why they've been so successful for so long. But, you know, it didn't surprise me the way the game turned out. You know, and it's funny, you said you had Falcons 34-17. I had Patriots 34-17, so maybe I didn't get the 17 for the Falcons right. They played a little better than I anticipated, but in the end, Patriots still scored the 34 points as I predicted. So I was happy to get that one right. but you know, that's just the way I kind of saw it going, though. Was that I had this feeling deep down, even watching the game, the Patriots were going to somehow come back anyways. That's just what I had, that feeling in me. But Lucas, what were your thoughts on the Super Bowl?
Well, I'm going to start out by saying that historically, you do not make money betting against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't. You're going to lose money. Going into this game, I had bets going on this game, and most of them were towards the Patriots. I got a bet halfway through the season. We each picked a couple teams. I had the boys and the Patriots. So obviously that worked out. And then I had another one. Someone gave me straight up, you know, no line, just Falcons versus Patriots. So I took that as well. Vegas had Patriots were favored anywhere from 3 to 10. So, you know, that you just have to take that. But I'm not going to lie. I was still, even with that, even without having to give points, I was still a little bit worried just because the Falcons were the highest scoring offense of any team this season. Now, the counter to that is, surprisingly, the Patriots, statistically, were the best defense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. But then there were two main things that happened for me this game, two key turning points. The first one was the fumble by LeGarrette Blount. That took the wind out of the Patriots' sails like no other. Falcons just, you know, took that home. The next big play was obviously that pick six. But the second major turning point was that sack on Matt Ryan that took them out of field goal range. And they lost that game because they got out-coached. Had they just took a knee and let their kicker make this a two-possession game, it was over. There was not enough time. But because they weren't able to kick a field goal, they gave it back to them. And the odds weren't in their favor. I mean, they had to score two touchdowns prior to that, you know, two touchdowns with two two-point conversions. So it doesn't seem likely. But all they had to do, they were in field goal range. Why would you throw the ball? Why would you not run? Devonta Freeman, that guy looked like a madman. Like, why not put the ball in his hands and let him do his thing and then just kick a field goal? It makes no sense to me. They got outcoached and lost that game.
Well, the holes for that defense were just massive. I agree 100%. And I'm glad you really brought that up because I forgot about that. The guy, I mean, when they hit that sack, I was like, that's out of field goal range. I mean, Matt Bryant has, what, a field goal range of like 70 yards. They still should have probably tried it. But it was just insane that they were passing the ball and that he wasn't smart enough to sit there and figure out, hey, I better throw this ball away. I better just throw this ball at the dirt towards, you know, Devonta Freeman's hands. But really, why didn't they hand it to him and just seal the deal right then? And I'm completely with you. That's a great assessment.
I mean, you know, there was a lot of great plays from the Super Bowl. I mean, not to mention probably one of the highlights of the game was that Julian Edelman catch.
Edelman, oh my gosh, how amazing is that?
Three defenders? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and he lost grip of the ball and just recaught it from touching the ground. I mean, that was an amazing catch. That and also the Julio Jones catch as well.
I mean, that guy's a monster. He is still, he's a freak of nature. He's still extremely, from a fantasy perspective, there's a lot of questions. Is he done? You know, he kind of tapered off a little bit. He had that big game, which padded his stats. What, you know, what's going to happen? That guy is still on. You want any piece of that Falcons offense. And I can make a list that would go on for about 30 minutes of who you should draft. But, you know, you want a piece of that offense going forward next year. It's not going to change.
See, and that was kind of where my assessment went to right there is, like, where did Julio Jones go in the second half? And I understand that it's the Patriots, and they probably singled him out. But you have so many weapons on that offense. They weren't spreading it around. I mean, it's just they came out in the second half with a completely different philosophy than they had in that first half.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, Lucas. It's like, I want a lot of pieces on that Falcons offense. The only side of it that will make me concerned for next season is that that backfield. I don't, you know, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman. You know, I think I can still get a good value for Tevin Coleman. I doubt I'll get the greatest value for Devontae Freeman. But who knows how it's going to work out. You know, this is going to be the question going until one of them is gone or just made apparently irrelevant. And I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
So, for me, I won't own any part of that backfield. But, as far as the receiving core, that's a different story. I mean, now, you're talking about one apparently abundantly obvious elite receiver in Julio Jones. And then you've got even guys who could bring you wide receiver two value that you're most likely either going to draft at a good wide receiver three or four value or probably get off of waivers because they're, you know, the only, I see Taylor Gabriel being the one drafted of him and Mohamed Sanu.
Yes.
Anybody? Yeah.
You absolutely. Guys, he's a barn burner. That guy, I like him as, you know, as offsetting, you know, not to say that Sanu won't have some games, but I mean, what do we really think he's going to do? I mean, three or four touchdowns and 600 yards. Like, that's not reliable. And Gabriel, I like. Now, I want to go back to something because you said that you wouldn't own either of the running backs. Is that just because you think that their value isn't going to be there and they're going to draft them too late? Because there's several teams that the talent maybe is not quite as good that you would take two running backs off of that team and maybe use them as a flex because you have like San Diego, you know, for example, when Woodhead is there, now you would, you know, you'd be happy to own Melvin Gordon or Woodhead when Woodhead is healthy because they're likely both going to produce for the highest scoring offense in football. Why can there not be two viable running backs?
Well, listen, here's, and maybe it's just my mindset, but I've never believed in starting two running backs from the same team on the same day, ever. You know, and I don't care how well both running backs are producing on the same team when they're both healthy and playing. I just won't do that. I just can't. It's not my philosophy or my belief of the value. Like, the value's not there to me. To risk starting two running backs on the same team in the same day.
Well, I'm not advising people to go out and get both running backs. I'm saying if you were to have either or.
Well, here's the thing. I think that in order to be successful in owning Devontae Freeman or Tevin Coleman, you need the other. That's the other thing is you're going to have to handcuff them.
See, I disagree with that though. I do. I disagree with that because I think that they have standalone value.
Yeah, I'd have to say that on either one of them started any week, I actually owned both of them, and I traded Devonta Freeman because I got tired of watching Tevin Coleman score all the touchdowns. Then I went out of my way to get Tevin Coleman, and then he got injured, so it really didn't work out for me this year. But I just remember a lot of games where they both were putting up 20-plus, and that was both of them, so I think owning either one of them would be great. Like, I think, but I the risky value, I think, to me is you're going to see Devonta Freeman probably go, I'm guessing probably early second, maybe even so much as a late first, because I think you're going to see a revelation of the running back next year. But that's neither here nor there. That's for later on once we figure out where everybody kind of lands. But I'm thinking that Tevin Coleman, Devonta Freeman, I think they're both solid starts next year, solid grabs. And I think Tevin Coleman, you're going to probably see him go probably in the middle of the fourth, maybe early fifth, somewhere in that market. And to me, that's a huge value for him.
But well, to see, I just don't know if that's where I want those guys. I mean, look, it's going to depend on a lot of things. It's going to depend on how, obviously, the offseason shakes out. You know, this is really way too early fantasy valuation. But, you know, if the draft were tomorrow, you know, I just don't know. I just don't think I'll have either one on my team. I just don't think. I mean, Tevin Coleman maybe because if maybe depending on who I'm drafting with, maybe doesn't recognize that, you know, he's a value the later you can get him. But, you know, I personally don't think I'll own either of the Falcons running backs for next season.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair to say that you just don't think that you'll be able to get them at a value that you like, so you don't think that they'll own them. I believe that that you could probably get Coleman at a value pretty cheap. I think you could probably get him, you know, seventh or, you know, maybe seventh round. If you could get him seventh round, I think you have.
Because sure.
Just based on what's going to be there.
Sure, just not fourth. I wouldn't take him fourth.
I wouldn't either, but I do believe in his talent, and especially in a PPR because the guy, he can catch. They line him up as a wideout.
Sure, sure. So, but here's the other thing is I'm going to rely on Tevin Coleman for his wide receiving abilities when they have three very capable wide receivers already. And not to mention, I also really like Austin Hooper going into next season as their tight end. I think his role is going to increase there as well. And who knows what will happen with Jacob Tammy while he's there as well. So there's just a lot. There's too many options. That's another thing, too. You know, it's good to have options on a good high-scoring team, but you don't want too many options. That's the other problem I have with the Falcons, is there's way too many. And the only one you can really say is going to get his is Julio. And that's not even guaranteed either, though, because we saw his numbers. They were very fickle this season, and I don't think that's going to be a repeat of next season. But, you know, with all those options, it's going to make that team going to be you're going to be hit or miss every week.
Yes, I mean, but if it were me, and just going forward, if you're able to get these four players, well, I guess Matt Ryan as well, but just I'm talking about the skill positions, it's not quarterback, either of those running backs at the right value, Taylor Gabriel and Julio Jones. I think those four players, I don't really want to play the roulette with tight ends because they also have Toy Lolo there? They have like three different tight ends so I'm not comfortable with a tight end, and I'm not going to be comfortable. I'm personally, unless something changes, I'm not going to be comfortable with Sanu. But I think those other four that I mentioned at the right value, I think that you'd be okay.
Isn't Jacob Tammy the starter for that team? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, who's going to get the end zone looks? I mean, with a tight end on that team, regardless of who's the starter, it's spread out between so many of them, and it's just, okay, who are we throwing in on this play? Who is in? Are we running hurry up? We're not going to take time to sub, so if that person is there.
I got you. You know, I just, you know, I'm kind of the same way. I don't really kind of care for the tight ends in those instances. I'm not a big fan of tight ends, even on the draft. Like, they're going to be my third to last pick right before my kicker and my defense, just because that's all positions that I can stream.
Yeah, and, you know, on the flip side of this, talking tight ends, I was pretty impressed with Bennett for the Patriots, and I'm really surprised that they didn't go to him more often. With how many third downs that they had to convert, I'm surprised that they didn't go to him more often because he was getting open.
Yeah, he's just such a monster, too. Such a big presence on that offense. It's almost Gronk-like, you know? I mean, he's not Gronk by any means, but he did pretty good. I was actually pretty impressed with him, too. But I agree. I couldn't believe he didn't get the red zone looks either. He didn't seem to get – I mean, James White handled business, but
– Yep.
So I'm glad that you brought up James White, because that was going to be my next question is, you know, fantasy-related, James White had a very impressive game. He was basically the whole offense at that point, towards the end of the game and really throughout. I mean, he was getting targeted. He was getting himself open, and he was scoring points. So – you know, and since Deion Lewis has been back, he's had a couple of nice games. But I think James White has been in there consistently more often than Deion Lewis and getting more touches and getting more work. I mean, what do you think of that going forward? And Mike, I'll start with you on that question.
You know, I like what I saw out of White yesterday, but the thing that always gets me about the Patriots is their backfield.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the exact opposite of how I feel about the Atlanta offense. Their backfield, I just try to avoid because it's so hard to predict who's it going to be that week. And I believe all of them will be back next year. I think Blunt might be a free agent, but I believe they'll probably try to secure him and keep that three-headed monster going. And it's just who you're going to pick next week. You know, who's it, is it going to be a Blount game? Is it going to be a White game? Is it going to be a Lewis game? I really don't feel like Lewis was phased out from there except for the fact that James White's by far the better pass-catching back. I think he proved that on the Super Bowl. But other than that, I'm really not too fond of starting any Patriots backfield.
I mean, what about you, Luke? Do you feel the same way?
Well, I think that, you know, Blount found his way into the end zone. He looks slow to me. He tries to cut too much for someone who doesn't have a lot of agility, but he scored. I mean, he was an RB1 this season. I've in the past always had trouble trusting a Patriots running back. I thought that James White looked the best out of all three of them, hands down. He looked better as a runner and he looked better as a pass catcher. So to me, he looked, you know, kind of like the whole package. But I don't know. I think they should move on from Deion Lewis, and I think they should run Blount and James White. But Belichick won't do that just because in case one of them, you know, is 5 minutes late to practice, he has to sit them for three games.
Or cut them.
Yeah.
I mean, well, here's another thing, too, and this is just me getting prepared for the NFL draft, but a name that I've been seeing floating around involving the Patriots in their first-round draft pick is Christian McCaffrey. Oh, who's another running back who can do it all, you know, a great receiver, great runner, and a great returner. So he's more of a utility guy. I don't see him being like an every down back. But there's another guy that it's a very big possibility Patriots will draft to further screw up the backfield. So, you know, it's really early, as we always say here at this time of the year. It's really early to start evaluating fantasy because we don't know what the team's going to look like. You know, it's just going to be interesting to see what it turns out to be in a few months from now. But go ahead, Mike.
Okay, you know, what I was saying is that I was looking it up, and it looks like Blount is actually a free agent this year. So it'll be hard to say if they do pursue that contract or just go with the James White-Deion Lewis combo right there, because I think they'd be just fine with that. Because I do agree. I think James White was the better runner. Like, I think he proved it. I think he proved himself and earned that spot.
I don't agree that they go completely away from here's my thing. I think LeGarrette Blount, yes, it's a very big possibility they just let him walk. However, if that's the case, this is a very strong running back class this year in the draft. They are not walking away from the draft without drafting somebody. That's my opinion if LeGarrette Blount walks.
Yeah, I the way I see it is he won't get that. They're just not going to pay him what he's going to want because he got all those touchdowns. He had a hell of a contract year to have a contract year. So
sure,
I think we'll see him somewhere else. Hopefully Denver, because he's a beast.
Sure, but the other thing that's scary is that the only place he's ever succeeded is in New England. You know,
I thought he did pretty good in Pittsburgh.
He did okay, but it seems like he could never get his head on straight anywhere else but New England.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's just a testament to how strict and disciplined the coaching staff was in dealing with him. And maybe that's, you know, other teams not really knowing his background, kind of being lax with him, not knowing how to handle somebody like him and his lifestyle, you know, outside of, you know, off the field. So, I don't know. But like I said, though, to your point, though, about if LeGarrette Blount walks, I don't think it's going to be a White-Lewis split. I think there's going to be another guy drafted is my point. And it could be the guy I was talking about, Christian McCaffrey. So that's a name you want to keep your eyes on. And in case he gets drafted by the Patriots, it'll be really interesting to see what happens with that backfield. All right, guys. So it's about all the fantasy stuff. So to start wrapping this up, we'll talk about some of the other things that happened in the Super Bowl. Commercials. I thought there were no good commercials, maybe one or two that I can think of off the top of my head. Otherwise, I couldn't tell you a really good commercial this year. Lucas, did you have any good commercials from this year?
I thought they were exceptionally mediocre. nothing really stuck out to me. I thought that the one with Justin Timberlake was clever. The bye-bye, whatever that drink was. I thought that was okay, but and you notice what I didn't see? I didn't see any FanDuel or DraftKings commercials.
No, but I think they keep. I don't think they get. They don't pay up that kind of money to get into the Super Bowl ads. And I don't think they have. I don't think they have either.
I think they're keeping their head down right now. I think they're trying to not draw a whole lot of attention because of some of the little bumps that they've ran into for the last year or two.
That's possible. I mean, I didn't see them many ads this season through any of the games. I mean, maybe one or two here and there, but I didn't think they were as overbearing as last season. So
right.
Maybe you're right about that. My favorite was just because I'm not a huge fan of her as an actress, Melissa McCarthy. I just liked seeing her fall into things and get beaten up in that commercial. It was great. That was the only one I enjoyed, though, to be honest. Commercials during the Super Bowl, you know, usually they're such a great part, but I can't remember one really good one in the last 5-6 years, maybe. I really can't. I don't know. Maybe you guys can remind me of something, but I can't think of one that was really that good.
Well, I think that the one that everyone would probably remember is the Budweiser one with the little white puppy, and he's like barking at that wolf, and then all of a sudden the Clydesdales come running up behind him.
I mean, if you want to get with like cute, sweet, like, you know, sappy type commercials, yeah, sure.
I thought that was it was a well done commercial. I mean,
sure, but I guess my criteria for a good commercial is one that makes me laugh.
I agree 100%. I haven't really caught a good one for a long time, and to be fair, I was not really paying too much for the commercials yesterday just because nothing was grabbing my attention at all. I was right there with you, you know. The one thing I do have to say that kicked ass was that the Lady Gaga, she really, and it's weird saying that out loud, but she really killed it. I thought she did great. Like,
did anybody else think watching her performance that, you know, as she got like from the very beginning to the very end of her performance, like she got progressively hotter during the show? Like I thought at first what she was wearing and the way she looked, I was like, ooh. What the hell is she doing? Like, what is all that crap? And then she just looked better and better as the show went on because she started eliminating all that, you know, crap around her eyes and let her hair down and, you know, whatever, and let off a little more of that, you know, got out of some of that space costume, what the hell she was wearing. I thought she was looking better and better by the time the halftime show was going on. Anybody else disagree?
I can't disagree with that, no doubt. That she definitely looked better and just kept going. I mean, I can't imagine the stamina and the energy that took to do the whole thing, but she was definitely amazing. I was impressed.
She looks a lot better than she did when I first remember seeing her. She used to freak me out the way that she looked, and now, you know, she's
still attractive now. She doesn't have the best looking face still. Like, her body is way, way better looking than her face, you know, in my opinion. That's just me. I mean, I saw her in American Horror Story, and she has a nice, she had a real nice body in that show. Anybody else watch that?
Uh-uh.
No? You guys got to watch it. I don't know what the hell is wrong with you guys. But she did well. I thought she had a great performance. I thought it was great that she started from the top of the building like she wanted to. And I'm glad she didn't get political during the show either, because, you know, the halftime show, because that's what they were all saying that she was going to kind of do. And that, you know, I won't get political on the show, but as somebody who does follow politics closely, I didn't really appreciate some of the commercials that were going on that had that tone of of touching on politics. I really didn't appreciate that. I'm watching the Super Bowl. You know, I can go fight with protesters and you know, other people online and do if I want to take care of that crap. I don't want to see that during the Super Bowl when I'm with family and friends. I want to just have a good time. I don't want to have to think about politics during the Super Bowl. I just didn't think it was right. It was right.
To me, it's so crazy that companies would take that stance, you know, that it's just to me, I mean, with everything as split up and as divided as it is, it's just kind of crazy to me that you would, you know, knock out maybe 50% of your base just by saying your message. I'm with you 100%. I mean, there's a time and a place for it. And on the Super Bowl really isn't it. And I really respect Lady Gaga for keeping it just with her showmanship, you know. I mean, she didn't get out there and do anything to me that was in particularly at all political. So yeah, I'm right there with you. I appreciated that. But yeah, to me, I was like, man, there's a lot of companies out here taking a lot of different angles. It blew me away.
Guys, this was Super Bowl 51. This was Sleeper Wire Super Bowl 51 review, and we got some fantasy information in there. So I thought we had a pretty good time. It's nice and short, but hey, don't worry. We're coming right back at you on our next show later this week. It'll be up by Friday, so please tune into that. You know, we are going to be doing a live mock draft. Yes, we did tell you on the last show that, you know, we would have a mock draft done over the weekend. Well, didn't quite work out that way. We'll get into that more on our next show, guys. So thank you for joining us. You can find us on SleeperWire.com. Go find us on Twitter and follow us at SleeperWire Show. Lucas, where can they find you on Twitter?
They can find me at Lucas Baldridge.
You can find me at DrKane21.
All right. And you can find me at Sleepwire Nick. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. For Lucas and Mike, I'm Nick Somo saying so long, everybody. Good night.
Take it easy.